Spirit of God made me. And the breath of the Almighty has given us life. And as God formed man in the dust of the air and the dust of the ground, and he breathed in him the breath of God, the Spirit of God, and man became, more than anything else, a different creature, different than the monkeys. No, we didn't spring from a monkey. Although I've seen some guys that I've wondered. You can almost see them in a tree with a banana. But no, we didn't come from monkeys. God formed us and we're separate and different. How many know that we have more in common genetically to a mouse than we do have due to a monkey? How many knew that? Our closest relative. You know when they do tests? They use these little white mice? That's because genetically we're closer to a mice than we are to a monkey. I don't know what that does to the evolutionists. They say we sprung from a monkey because we're closer related to the mouse.
You.
We did not spring from a monkey nor a mouse. God created us and he breathed into us the breath of life and we became body, soul, and spirit. And that spirit part that reaches out to God. We are different than any other creature. God formed us in creation, but he is still forming us today. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, a man came to Jesus, Nicodemus by name. And Nicodemus said, "We know that you are a teacher sent from God. No one could do the mighty works that you do unless he was from God." Jesus responded to him, "Do you not know you must be born again?" Nicodemus said, "How can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? What are you talking about being born again?" Two things Jesus could have been talking about. Number one, he could have been talking about being born a second time from your mother. Or he could have been talking about regeneration. The phrase he used could be interpreted by a Jew two ways. Being born by your mother, or being born as a proselyte, committing your life to follow God. The same message preached by John the Baptist. Nicodemus, in his pride and arrogance, said, "He cannot be talking about me needing to make repent and turn from my sins and commit to follow God, because I'm the Pharisee, the holiest of people on the planet." But Jesus was saying, "You need to be born again. Not just repentance, but to be born of the Spirit." He goes on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is fleshly. But that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual." Jesus is still working. God is still working as far as breathing life into souls. When you're born again, you receive the Spirit of God and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit in our life. As God created man, man fell in sin. And sin has driven the Spirit of God from us. But if we're born again, the Spirit of God comes back into our life. This is the message of the gospel. This is the good news of the New Testament, that we can have the fresh touch of the Spirit of God upon our lives. Folks, it's not about church. It's about being born again. It's about knowing that no matter how good we are, without Christ, we are dead in our sins. But through Christ, we can have new life. God in the Old Testament, working by the Spirit. The Spirit that brings life into hearts. If you go back a little bit farther in the Old Testament, we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters." The Spirit of God brooded over the waters. The Spirit of God hovered as a dove would hover over the waters. One commentator said, like an eagle hovering over its young when it's trying to teach it to fly. Isaiah said this, chapter 31, verse 5. It says, like a bird hovers overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over and it will be rescued. At creation, God hovered over the waters. His Spirit hovered over the waters. And land began to be formed. God watched over. God protected it. God formed the earth. And every living creature. And I want to tell you, if you're born again, the Spirit of God is hovering over you. He is forming you. He is changing you. He is working within you. He is protecting you. The seed of God that's inside of you. The Word of God, the faith of God that's inside of you. You've committed your life to Christ. The Spirit of God is hovering around you. And helping you to grow. Helping you to be formed into His image. He is there protecting you and keeping you. We see the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the creation. The Old Testament also is prophesied that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. If we go to the Old Testament and we look at the Holy Spirit being upon individuals, we'll find that the Spirit would come down and rest upon only certain people, only the elect, individuals who are like judges, individuals who are kings and leaders, individuals who are warriors. The Spirit of God would by times come down and rest upon them and give them supernatural ability. We find Gideon, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him at a certain time and giving him strength. We find Joshua, the Spirit of the Lord descending upon him. We find Samuel. We find Samson, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, resting upon him and giving him supernatural power. We find people like Isaiah and Ezekiel where the Spirit of the Lord came upon them for the purpose of prophesying and sharing God's word. But the Spirit would come upon them for a moment, for 2 moments, for a few moments. Empower them and then lift up. But Joel looked ahead to a greater day. This Old Testament prophet named Joel, he looked ahead to a greater day. He was not the first one. Moses also looked ahead to a greater day. The story in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11, about Moses. And Moses was having a difficult time. He had a couple of million people he was taking care of, and he was looking after all the disputes and things going on in everyone's life that come to him. And it's kind of like today, the court system got backlogged. So he chose 70 leaders. They brought them in. And he said, I'm going to pray over them and ask the Spirit of God to come upon them and anoint them. And then they can do the same work that I'm doing. He brought them to the temple. And the Spirit of God came down upon them and anointed them. And the Spirit of the Lord that was upon Moses came upon these men. There's actually only 68 men of the 70. Two were missing. The two were Eldad and Medad. They were missing. And as the Spirit of God descended on the 68, the two, Eldad and Medad, were in the camp of Israel. The Spirit of God descended upon them. And when the Spirit of God came upon them, they began to prophesy and speak the Word of God. They began to speak just things, just God began to come up in them, and they began to prophesy and speak the things of the Lord. And someone came running to Moses and said, Moses, you can't believe what's taking place. Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp of Israel. And Moses said, are you jealous for my sake? He said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord put the Spirit on all of them. I wish that everyone could have the Spirit of God. What are you jealous about? Are you jealous for me? My desire, Moses said, my desire, I wish everybody had the Spirit of God, not just me. I wish all the people could hear the voice of God and speak the voice of God. I wish everyone could get in touch with the voice of God speaking to them. not leave it to one or two. He was looking forward to a day. In his heart, in his mind, he knew there'd come a day that God would not only anoint the elect, but God's voice could be heard by everyone. Joel said this. He said, afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Even upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before the New Testament, before the days of Christ, he looked forward to a day when the Spirit of God would be poured out upon all people. That the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out without prejudice on both the men and the women. On both the young and the old. Some people think, well, you're too old. Some people think, well, you're too young. Well, that doesn't make any difference because God has no prejudice. He doesn't care whether you're young or whether you're old. He wants to pour His Spirit upon you. Hallelujah. He doesn't care whether you're a woman or a man. He doesn't care the way about your past or what your present or what your future is. He wants to pour His Spirit upon your life. We find in Acts chapter 2, the disciples are gathered together in one place, in one accord. The day of Pentecost, as promised, the Spirit of the Lord came and descended upon them. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So people around were looking at them thinking, what is this going on in the temple? What's going on with those 120 people? What's happening in their lives? Some people looked at them and thought, these guys have been boozing it up. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Acts chapter 2 verse 14, he says, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit these days and they will prophesy. I believe we are living not just in the time of you and me, but this is the day of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is designed to be poured upon all flesh. There's not one person that the Spirit doesn't want to be poured upon so that they can be filled, so they can hear the voice of God, so they can speak the voice of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit was poured upon that group. And folks, there was 120. I know the 12 were there. And you say, well, that's an elite group. But God poured upon anybody who was in the room at the time. They had 120. Folks, if they had 220, they'd have been 220 filled with the Holy Spirit. If they had 1,020, they would have all been filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's not for an elite group. Today, the Holy Spirit is for every one of us. It's for you and for me. It's not for some, just for some great missionary that travels to some remote part of the world. The Holy Spirit is for us, for today, for the factory worker, for the housewife, the lady that goes to the office, the man that goes and digs in the ditch. It doesn't make any difference. The Spirit is for us today, here in this place. Hallelujah. We see the Holy Spirit prophesied that He'd be for all people. Third thing we see in the Old Testament is we see the prophecy that the Holy Spirit would be our sanctifier. Oh, how we need the sanctification that comes through the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Spirit of God wants to work within us. But we come to Christ with such messed up lives. Anybody there besides a pastor? We come with such messed up lives. You know, life just has a way of doing things to us. You know, you don't have to be 50 to be messed up. You can start when you're really young. Isn't that the truth? Some will start really young. We want to get a head start on being messed up. But God can come and straighten the messes out of your lives. Ezekiel chapter 36, 25 to 27 says this. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Jesus said to a certain woman at the well, he said, you come to the well looking for water. I have living water. You drink this and you'll never thirst again. Another time Jesus stood at the feast. He said, come, all you who are thirsty, and I will give you water. Yes, he spoke of the Holy Spirit. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you the heart of stone, and I will give you the heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful keeping my laws. Folks, I can speak with a certainty that God has the ability to do this. I was only a teenager, not much different than the age of some of these boys right here. 17. I came to God in the hard as stone. Filled with anger, filled with rage. Not believing in God, the only desire in my life was to follow the lusts of the flesh. And in a moment, God changed my heart. Folks, it didn't take years. It took one moment in the presence of God. And I was born again. And that hard heart was changed by the Spirit of God. He took the old heart and put in a new one. The Bible says this. I will ask the Father and I'll give you another comforter to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because they neither see him or know him. But you will know him. For he lives with you and will be with you. The Spirit of the Lord can come into our lives and in a moment change our hearts. Folks, that's just the beginning. Because as he changes our hearts, he also changes our lives. That purification, that sanctification starts deep inside of our heart and begins to flow out through every part of us. Every part of, whether it's our words, whether it's our actions, whether it's our attitudes, the Spirit of God begins to flow out through every part of our lives. How we need the Spirit of God inside of us. One more thought. We see the Spirit of creation. We see the Spirit prophesied that he'd be for all people, that he would be our sanctifier. One more thing I want to pull out many more, is the Spirit in the Old Testament only on one individual. The Bible talks that the Spirit came down and clothed him. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants to come down and clothe us with his presence. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says this. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to the 12, 11, the disciples. They said, I want you to stay until you're clothed with power. I want you to stay until you're clothed with the authority and power of God. That you spoke of the disciples. Be assured. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it tells us that this promise is unto you and your children, and to all them who are far off, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That this promise that we can be clothed with power from on high is not just for an elite 12 or 11. It's for every one of us. Every one of us can receive the power that Jesus spoke about. That we can be clothed with power from on high. Clothed with power. John the Baptist for clothing had what? He had a garment made out of camel skin or camel hair. I don't know how that smelled. Particularly after he wandered in the desert for a while. I kind of expect that an old camel skin coat probably smelled better on the camel. Although John the Baptist was known for being in the water a lot, which probably helped it. The prodigal son, when he came home, was given a robe. What was his robe like? Well, we're just told it was the best robe. It was a good robe. John the Baptist had a camel hair robe. A poor robe. These guys have the best robe. But folks, God wants to give us a different robe. He wants to clothe us with power from on high. He wants us to be clothed with His presence. Rarely is this found in the Old Testament, but it's found one time hidden in Scripture. Judges chapter 6 tells a story about Gideon. It was a difficult time in the nation of Israel. Israel, in the story of in the book of Judges, you'll find it's a reciprocal thing that takes place. They live for God, they backslide, sin, God's bring judgment, they repent, they go back to serve God, God's bring deliverance, and then they backslide, go back into sin again, God sends persecution, they repent, they get right with God, God brings deliverance over and over again. It just that's the story, that's the teaching of Judges. We find Gideon as one of the great deliverers for the nation. The Midianite armies had come against Israel. The Bible says that they came on them like locusts. Like a swarm of locusts. They came across the land. They devoured the food. They killed people. They burnt their villages. And everything was left destroyed. The nation of Israel was left beaten and defenseless. Starving. Hiding in caves. We find the story of Gideon. Gideon appears as he's in the story as he's in a wine press. A wine press was a hole cut in a stone. It was similar to about the size of a baptismal tank. It was about this wide, just a little over 6 foot long. About so deep. And he was hiding in the wind, the wine press trying to thresh grain. If you know anything about threshing grain, you want to have the wind blowing through it, take away the chaff. But he didn't dare to be seen because the Midianites might come. So he's there hiding in the chaff. I don't know if he had hay fever or not, but I tell you what, if I were to do that with the little bits of allergies I've got, I would be in a mess. But he was hiding there. He didn't care about it. He needed some food, and he was afraid. So he's hiding in this hole, trying to thresh his wheat to get a little bit of grain so he could get something to eat to survive for another day. Frightful. Afraid. Petrified that the Midianites would come. And God appears. Greetings. Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Now there's a man who's more like a mouse than a monkey. Scared to death. And almost see the angel come along and Gideon peeking out of the hole. Think, who's this coming? Yeah, it better be a Midianite. I'm going to lose all my grain. It's the angel of the Lord. God calls him to bring deliverance. And God gives him his first task. His first task was go back into the village. And there his father had set up an idol to Baal. And there he built an Asherah pole. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, go get the oxen, the second oxen. Take it and tear down that Asherah pole. Destroy the idol of Baal in your father's house. And there build an altar to the Lord. Cut the Asherah pole up. Build a fire and offer your dad's second ox, the second bull, the 9-year-old one, on that altar. You know the story. Gideon was afraid. So he waited until it was dark outside, and he sneaks out, and he gets a couple of companions, and he sneaks through the night, checking around every corner, making sure everybody's asleep. And quietly, they tear down the altar to Baal. Quietly, they cut off the Asherah pole. And they break it up as quietly as they can and start a fire, throw the bull on, and run and hide. Oh, mighty man of valor. He actually runs to his dad's house and hides in the house. But the problem was, some of the guys he had with them were mice too, or actually were rats. Because in the morning, they said, who did this? And one of them said, I don't did it. It wasn't me. It was Gideon. He made me do it. And they come to Gideon's house, and then they say to the father, give us Gideon, he's going to die. Look what he's done. He has to be punished for this. And Gideon is there in his room. He's either under the bed, or in the closet, or in the clothes hamper, or something, shaking like a leaf. His dad stands up and says, listen, if Baal is God, let Baal defend himself. And the people left. And there we find his great start for this mighty man of valor. But something takes place in verse 34 of the story. It says this. Judges 6:34. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezites to follow him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet. Folks, there's a difference in Gideon's life at this moment. Can I give you the words just a little bit clearer? It says, and the Spirit of the Lord, it's the breath of the Lord, or we can say the breath of Yahweh came upon, and the word came upon is to clothe. The breath of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. And folks, when Gideon was clothed in the Spirit, he no longer was the mouse. But folks, I want to tell you, he became a man. He was a mouse sneaking around, hiding in threshing grain in some wine press. He was a mouse sneaking around, crawling around at night when no one could see him trying to do the work of God. But folks, when he got the Spirit of God upon him, when he was clothed with the Spirit of God, he got out his trumpet, he walked out in Center Street and said, listen, it's time for us to stand up and be men. It's not time to let the Midianites walk over us. It's not time to let the enemy trample us underfoot. Folks, it's time to stand up. Amen. Folks, the people see he was clothed with something different. This wasn't the old Gideon. This was the new Gideon. He was clothed with the Spirit of God. He had a confidence. He had a power. He had an authority. Not only did the Abiezrites follow him, but the rest of the clans of Israel began to come along his side as well. He marched out with thousands of men against the Midianites. And God said, there's too many. Do you know what? God whittled them down, sent some home, sent some back to their camp, sent away those who were afraid or fearful. He didn't need any mice in this army. had one man and he needed a few more. He sent away those who didn't drink right. When they sent them out to the water hole, Gideon ended up with 300 guys. And folks, these were 300 men, not 300 mice. And God sent them out. And 300 men, you can read the story, brought deliverance to a group that was innumerable of soldiers waiting to destroy them. Why? Because one man was clothed with power from on high. One man decided he was going to put something else on, not just wear the old garments of the flesh. Folks, sometimes we clothe ourselves with all the wrong things. What do we clothe ourselves with? Sometimes we clothe ourselves with pride. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. What are we clothed with today? Are we clothed with pride, or are we clothed with the Spirit of God? Sometimes we want to clothe ourselves with things and get the most fancy things we can get around us. We think that's true, that he with the most toys at the end wins. But folks, that isn't it. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sometimes we're just clothed with our own flesh and sinful nature. Romans 13 verse 14 says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Clothe yourself with the Spirit of God. Clothe yourself with the presence of Christ. And Jesus gave this promise to the disciples. Tarry into Jerusalem. Wait there. I'm going to send what the Father's promised. I'm going to send you the Spirit. But tarry, stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. He was speaking to the 12 and they knew what he was talking about. They'd watched the ministry of Jesus. Oh, you look, the disciples had great ministries as well. If you look, as they traveled with Jesus, Jesus sent them out and they prayed for the sick and they were healed. They laid hands on those who were oppressed by the devil. Has the devil ever oppressed anybody here? And they were set free from the attack of the enemy. But when they traveled with Jesus, they travel as his apprentice. And there's a difference between an apprentice and a journeyman. How many know that? Anthony's an apprentice, lecturer. John is an apprentice welder. Just got his license for a little. Bill's a welder. Bill, you're a journeyman, aren't you? Full license, everything. He's got more licenses than Carter's got a little bit of CCs. But there's a difference. There's a difference between an apprentice and a journeyman. Anthony, once you get that full license, something's going to happen right away. You pull your paycheck out, it's going to look different. The numbers are going to be all mixed up on it. That's right. You'll think, how come they're paying me this month? Oh, wait. I'm no longer apprentice. I'm full-fledged now. I've got the real thing. I'm fully licensed. The disciples traveled as apprentice. But they knew there was coming a time when they'd receive the same anointing that Jesus had. The anointing that was upon Jesus, folks, was almost, you could almost touch it. You can almost see it. There's one point in Luke, we find Luke chapter 6, verse 19, says, the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. There's points we find Jesus, he had been ministering all day and he just goes and he sits down, relaxes. And people come by. And he's just trying to get a rest. And people come by and just touching the hem of his garment and being healed. He was just standing there, sitting there, just relaxing. People were just, the lineup kept going by. And everyone that touched was being healed. Why? Because the Spirit of God had clothed him. Because the Spirit of God was emanating from him. He had been clothed with power from on high. Amen. And all you had to do was touch it, and you'd be healed. I tell you what, the disciples didn't have that as promise. But folks, when they become journeymen, when they receive the full anointing, we find Peter walking down the streets. And they didn't even touch the hem of his garment. His shadow touched people, and they were being healed. God was working in powerful ways through their lives in a greater way. Why? Because they were clothed with power from on high. Do we want to be clothed with power? Gideon was clothed with power. And what happened? He went up against those who were their enemy, that had been attacking them and destroying them. And he attacked and destroyed the enemy. Have you been attacked by the enemy? How many were personally attacked by the enemy? How many have had the enemy attack their home? Some of your children. How many know that this time that the enemy is attacking this church? Folks, I believe it's time to get clothed with power from on high. And let the enemy know that the Spirit of God is still alive and real. The Spirit of God is not going to stand for the enemy to trample us underfoot. The Spirit of God is not going to stand for our families to be trampled underfoot. The Spirit of God is not going to stand for this church to be trampled underfoot. It's time that we get clothed with power from on high so we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." Powers of darkness in this world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We fight against spiritual forces. Folks, let's get our head out of the sand. Let's realize the enemy is real and he's trying to take us down. It's time, folks, for us to stand up and be like Gideon. Folks, the Spirit of God, we see it in creation and he still created us. We see this promise for every one of us. The promise of sanctification. But also the promise of empowerment. The promise that God is working on us. He's brooding over us. He's cleansing us. He's working in us. He's changing our heart. But also, the Spirit is here to empower us. So we can stand against the attacks of the enemy. And put the enemy underfoot. I'm going to ask the worship team. How can you be endued with power? How can you have a greater presence of God? How can you go and get a greater clothing of the Holy Spirit? My dad, for a while, worked as a flagman. Did they ever do that? He drove a rope for heavy equipment as well, but he said the worst job he ever had in his life. Stand there all day. He'd rather be in a nice big machine driving around, you know? That's a lot more fun. One day he was working, this girl goes by. This is back in the 60s. And he told us about it. He came home and said this girl went by and she didn't have enough on to flag a wheelbarrow. I wonder if the Lord looks upon us and he says you can be clothed with the Holy Spirit. We can be clothed with the garment of power. And we don't have enough of the Holy Spirit on to flag a wheelbarrow. Folks, we need to get clothed with the Spirit of God. How can you be clothed with the Spirit of God? Surrender. Surrender. Back about 15, 16, 17 years ago, one of my low points in ministry, I was feeling so burned out I just wanted to quit. I know that never happens to pastors. It did to me at this point. My wife and I took a week off and went up to New Brunswick. Midweek service, I go to my mom's church. Pastor says, oh, it's great to see Carmen here. Carmen, what? I want to pray for you. And he brings me up and he lays hands on me. The Spirit of God came upon me. I'm slaying the Spirit. And I seen a vision. God showed me a picture of the mind. I seen this picture of me falling down. Then rising up again. What are you talking about, God? What are you talking about? I don't understand it. And the Lord showed me the same picture again. Falling down, rising up. God speaks in mysteries. Sometimes it's hard to understand what he said. Anybody ever find that? And then he showed it to me a third time. And then he began to show it like in fast motion. The nearest I can describe it is like flipping through a deck of cards. I was going down and coming up, going down and going up. Maybe I was slow and stupid, but I was going down and coming up, going down and coming up. And then when I come up with a Bible under my hand. It was there in my arm. And I was radiant. And then, Lord, let me explain this to you. Oh, you who are slow to learn. You need to die and raise again. You need to die and raise again. You need to die and raise again. You need to die, come to life in Christ. You need to allow the old life to die and the new life to come. You need to allow that old fleshly way of thinking to die and come to life in Christ. You need to put away the old way you used to do things and come alive in Christ. And as you come alive and you come alive and come alive over and over again in Christ, something's going to happen. My presence is going to come upon you, and I will fill you, and I will empower you, folks. When I come up that last time, my clothes were glowing. Look pretty sharp, I'm going to tell you. They were glowing. Why? Because I was being clothed with power from on high. Folks, all you need to do is a life of surrender. I should say, all we need to do is a life of surrender if we want to be clothed with power from on high. Folks, it's time to stop letting the devil walk over us. It's time to stop him from taking and destroying our homes, messing up our teenagers' lives, and messing with our church. God wants to clothe you and me with power from on high. Bow your heads along with me. Father, want your Holy Spirit. We need your Spirit. Lord, we cannot survive without your Spirit. Tired of the enemy messing with our church. Slip your hand up. Folks, we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need to be clothed with God's power. I'm going to open this altar together. Open this altar for us. We'd like to come and gather around and spend some time just seeking His presence. Allowing Him to be the one who breathes life. The one who brings sanctification. The one who brings His power. Allow His Spirit to come upon you and clothe you with power.